the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everybody. Can I get an approval of the agenda as presented? So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes of the June 6, 2023 regular meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any corrections, additions, deletions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Unfinished business. Ordinance 1415, third and final reading. An ordinance providing an annual appropriation bill for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024, in the amount of
$18,491,596. Mayor, I've got maybe some rookie questions here. But I understand that we have provided animal shelter in this second reading. Well, it's in the third reading now. The budget for $4,000, and when you consider the $4,000 there plus the $10,000 for neutering and spaying or something, and another veterinary type service, it comes up to $16,000. So what I'm wondering is if we change the $4,000 of general fund money that we've got in the third reading today and increase that by $2,000, that gets us up to around the $18,000 that I think was a number that they were looking for. And I'd say that that would be worthwhile. If that would be the case, that would change the general city appropriation on, you see in the ordinance here, 728, it'd be 735. You see that? So I would move that for the sake of discussion.
I would second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Now I got one more little one. We've got these are things that happened after, you know, we didn't even know about until recently. But the Johnson County Tourism Association, my understanding, they withdrew their request for money that the 1% committee had already appropriated. It's still found in the 1% sales tax, a special sales tax appropriation. And the city's amount was $5,000. Now, the intent was for the Tourism Association to use the $5,000 they're getting from us to run the visitor center for the one out remotely out in the east of town, and they also do it in the office here as well. So I'm wondering what the rest of the council would think if we would allocate that $5,000 to the chamber, since they're not, I should say the tourism associations, not interested in doing those kind of things. So the chamber wants to take that over, but they want to take it over with the money that was going to be used by the original organization that was going to take it. So does that make sense to everybody, what's happened there? If so, I will make a motion to allocate the $5,000 of special 1% money from the Johnson County Tourism Association to the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce.
So previously, volunteers had run the visitor center. Is that not?
No. No, it's always been funded, but the funding that was going to be coming from the Tourism Association is not adequate to take over what they were intending to do for this. And this happens between the time that they applied under the 1% special funding, or 1% sales tax funding, and, you know, shortly before now. So I guess as far as the city itself is concerned, it's kind of a zero-sum game, because the $5,000 is going to go to the Tourism Association for that same purpose, but they have withdrawn their interest or their, I guess what you might say, shifted it to the Johnson County or Buffalo Chamber of Commerce to do it. But they didn't, the money isn't following them yet completely. They did give them some money, but not enough to totally compensate for the costs, and that's what that's about.
Councilman, has the chamber has agreed to open up and run the visitor center east of town?
They have done that, yes.
They have.
Yeah. They've done that. I think it's probably, we've got, you know, some chamber people that can want to explain it and straighten out what I've messed up. But I think, yeah, it's going and it isn't going. Well, yeah, it's going, I'm sure.
So it's allocating the funds to the chamber versus the
yeah,
tourism board to do the same.
That's really what lawyer is.
I understand. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Do we have a second or not?
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Okay, I don't have anything else.
I make a motion to approve ordinance 1415, on its third and final reading for the budget for the city of Buffalo.
As amended?
As amended, yeah.
Okay, second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Mayor, what's the final number?
The final number is 18 million. It's been a while since we ran the city on 18,000.
493,000.
Yeah, 93,596.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mike might remember when we ran the city on 18,000.
Yeah, I'm going
to And of that number, roughly half of it is capital improvements, and the rest of it, and the other half is the rest of the city of Buffalo.
Thank you.
Okay. On to new business. Making a motion to approve the absence of the June 6, 2023 for Councilman Camino.
I would so move.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'll abstain.
Thank you, Councilman.
As long as you didn't get paid for it.
There goes that beer up in here. Can I get a motion to approve the infrastructure agreement for Love's Travel Stops and Country Stores?
I have a correction or a question.
Okay.
Dennis, in recital section A, it says the property is located within the city of Buffalo.
Which section?
Page 1,
okay.
Under A.
Yeah, that's. And then it goes on to say it's in the county subdivision, but okay, within just Johnson County.
Yeah, I think we need to cross out that.
Within Johnson County.
Other than that, I think everybody else had a chance to look over it.
And I assume Love had a chance to look it over?
Yes, sir. Love is okay with all the revisions that Mr. Kirby has made on it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can I get a motion to approve the Love's Travel Stop Infrastructure Agreement with pending the correction by legal?
I'd make a motion to approve the Love's Travel Infrastructure Agreement with one change on letter A, striking the city of Buffalo and replacing it with Johnson County.
Yep. Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So, Counselor, I will sign that as soon as you get the corrected copy to me.
I'll have it to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Matt Gilbert.
Yes.
Step forward, Mr. Gilbert.
So I guess I don't really know exactly. This is my first one.
It looks like you have an appeal to the planning and zoning board setback decision.
Yeah, so you just kind of want me to explain what's going on. Okay.
Read your case.
What's that?
Imagine her as Judge Judy.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I will.
Or Mike can be Judge Judy.
So basically, I filed this appeal because I missed the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, so I didn't feel like I had a chance to kind of explain what I was looking for with the variance to one of the setbacks where I'm about to build my shop. And the setback is, it's a 20-foot setback on the east side of the lot for where I could build my shop from the property line. And I was trying to get a zero setback so I could build it right on the property line. But I revised that and I'm trying to just get a five-foot setback. The Planning and Zoning Commission accepted a 10-foot setback without me even being at the meeting. So I was just going to see if I could get an extra 5 feet out of the deal. And okay. I think it's reasonable.
Can you tell me where this property is located at?
Yes, it's 375 East Keys Street.
What's the neighboring property?
The neighboring property, it's on a corner lot.
Oh.
So it's Keys and Cummings. Right at the corner of Keys and Cummings.
Okay.
So it's just all residential places. So.
But the 5 foot setback would go up to Cummings or within 5 feet.
So it would be, no, it'd actually be, my property line is like, it's like 17 feet off of the street already.
Yeah.
And then the property, so another 5 feet would put me like 23 feet off, or 22 feet off of the street.
Off the street.
Yeah.
Did the Planning and Zoning provide any reason why they would grant a 5 foot, not a 5 or a 0?
So coming down to a couple of things, they were concerned about sightline distances on the corner coming in and out of there when you put a building on it, even though, you know, you may be far enough back that you start building taller, and you kind of predict things coming when you're driving, you know what I mean? So that, in lieu of the closer you get, the more or less planning you do driving, you know, defensive driving-wise. Another reason for that is, so you let one person have that setback, you've just now been, the way the ordinance reads, is you let everybody on that street have that setback.
Mm-hmm.
The way it reads is, you know, once a neighbor has that setback, the following neighbors can also do that setback. So you're kind of opening it wide open to, you're allowing everyone to do that at that point, to have that setback on that side of that street. So, Planning and Zoning felt it was 10-foot, was acceptable football, you know, so they gave their, you know, another thing is they looked at is, when you apply for a variance, you have to have some sort of a hardship. I mean, that's the reason why it's a hardship on you. They particularly didn't see that there was any sort of hardship other than a want to have more lawn and a bigger shop. And so, you know, they kind of gave there and did give a little bit of a variance. And
right.
That's how they ended up with a 10-foot.
Okay.
instead of 20.
Mr. Gilbert, it sounds like you went there to plead your case to the planning and zoning, though. Is there a hardship, a reason for that you'd want that?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it makes my lot time. I kind of got a little bit toasted with where they built my house because it was built like really close to the alley on the one side. So it, like, usually you would want your home on one side and your garage on one side, and then have your yard on the home side. But in this case, I can't really have the garage attached to the house. It has to be shop built over there. So I just want to be able to have a yard for, you know, just a place for, like, have kids on the way, just have a yard, you know. So, and it's, I mean, I respect the 10-foot decision and everything, and it was my fault for not being at the meeting, too. So, it's kind of, I just thought I'd try for the appeal and see what happens. So, that's all we got. So.
Any other questions? Any other comments? Can I get a motion to, I guess, can I get a motion to accept the appeal of the Planning and Zoning Commission? A vote in the affirmative would appeal it. A vote in the negative would support Planning and Zoning.
I say no. We take no action on it.
So we're just supposed to take action.
We can just propose
it. I think the motion ought to be, do you grant the appeal or deny the appeal?
Yeah, I make a motion to deny the appeal and to affirm the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation of 10-foot setback.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Sorry, Mr. Gilbert.
That is all right.
Yep.
Little shot.
Mr. Jerry Spearing, proposed framework for affordable housing, and there's no play on words in that.
There's what?
No play in words on a framework for affordable housing.
Yeah, that is, that's the first thing you run into working is everybody has a definition of what's affordable. And I try not to define it too close. It changes. Who you're talking to. Just for the record, I'm Jerry Spearing with, and I'm on the Planning and Zoning Board, but this effort is not associated with Planning and Zoning. I've done this on my own after we started the comprehensive plan, and I saw how big a need there was for this. And so, what I've come up with is it's a pressing issue in Buffalo, and I've had about 50 interviews around town and in the state, state agencies and other cities and towns, and it's everywhere as an affordable housing. In fact, it makes you wonder why we spend any money on economic development if we can't even house what shows up here in town without our efforts. You know, like Loves and a wonderful water company. Wonderful, whatever it is. My Crazy Woman Water is all coming, maybe a new retail store coming, and the skilled nursing up on the hill, and Amy Holt, and teachers, and all the people trying to get houses and housing now. I don't see we need to spend the money on economic development, but that's a different subject. So to do this, what I've found, this kind of mimics in some ways what the Red Lodge has done. A similar sized community, it's has the same tourist values or similar tourist values, and so therefore they have similar problems, and they've not solved it, they're working on it, and have, and you'll see in the notes, constructed units and have more under construction with the methodology that they chose. And what I think we need to do, and let me rephrase this from the beginning, this is a framework. This isn't a plan to build an apartment building or a plan to move the city yard or any of that. It's the framework to allow council and the county, and I have presented to the county because I think we need the framework to be inclusive. The projects won't be. The county will do whatever they find is necessary, and any monies that show up from them or any donations in land or services will go to that project. The city has its own efforts and issues and donations, and those projects will be done. So what we need to do, according to this framework, is create an agency. And that agency, according to Mr. Curran, is the best solution for that is the existing Buffalo Housing Authority. That's going to take some modification of their mission and some other issues, because they're not really anxious to do this. So we'll have to work on that. There's other things, other vehicles possible, but that's all new, and I'm not a legal mind, so I have no clue how they actually do those things. So the Housing Authority probably is the best bet. The whole notion of donations from government entities, and I learned early on in this, is the city can't just give property to a project, can't give services, okay, without. So, but they can donate through, like, a housing authority or a 501c company. They can donate land and services. The way this framework is, any kind of donation thing that the city considers should require deed restriction on the property. So if they're going to build an apartment building and the land was already purchased, but they ask for infrastructure and we decide to do it, it should have deed restriction for X number of years or whatever in order to maintain some aspect of control that you develop low rent or, you know, affordable housing, basically. And it isn't just flip. That was one early concern, is build this house and boom, make a lot of money. So that's the donation aspect. Donations from private industry, from private individuals, and other public entities. I've been talking to hospitals and schools, and I mean, there's just no end of people looking for housing for their employees. Now, they're willing to actually donate money to this cause, provided we have a good, solid plan, well thought out plan. They're willing to donate money, actual funds, and the first thing thinking about is a full-time grant writer. As when I was doing this research, trying to find, or I thought, oh, I can write a grant. that didn't take me but an hour to say, I'm never going to be able to do this. So you hire a full-time grant writer, or, as one person suggested, hire a third-party service and do the grant writing. And the other comment that was made that made a lot of sense. So we get a grant writer, we get started, and once they get started doing this, other entities could utilize that grant writer. You know, schools and hospital, and they could utilize it, and therefore the funding could be maintained, and we're not looking to have, let me state this straight away, I'm not looking to get money from the city or the county. I don't think that's necessary for this project. We'll talk about infrastructure, we talk about land. You know, how do you pay for the infrastructure? Maybe you sell a piece of land and you use that money for the infrastructure. But I'm not talking about general funds or any. I don't think we need any of that. Just do it without it. There's a lot of detail in here about the shortages and the need. And one of the things that I'd like to stress that we probably should spend the money on after the grant writer is a needs assessment. And every WCDA grant has to have a needs assessment. So I asked, well, how hard is that? That's another one of those I'm never going to do. It's complicated, and it's got to be within 6 months of the projects, and I just, it's the government. So you'll see that in there, and I've listed what some of the other communities have done. Like I said, Red Lodge looks to be the one that's most successful, and we can implement something similar. I've talked with the Wyoming Business Council, which was interesting because there's people from all over the state doing this, because every community in the state has the same problem. And so you get all these people. I got on a Zoom meeting, and they're all talk, going on and on, and the end result was they wanted to two aspects. They want to educate the legislature and go to the legislature for funds. I just threw up my hands. I said, my God, you know, it takes the legislature, that takes 5 years. We don't have 5 years. If you can do it in 5 years. So I kind of went by that one. Well, that was the Wyoming Housing Coalition. The Business Council studied the problem, and they chose Lander and Lovell, and they ended up coming up with a big study and everything, and they said, well, we got two zoning changes. I'm like, oh, that's something that we do locally, we can handle. You know, that didn't help anything. So there's a lot of efforts out there, and there's a lot that I don't think necessarily apply here. And then, so what resources does the city have? Land, surface, services, and infrastructure. What resources the county have? Land and property tax considerations. And I know there's tremendous legal and political complications with all that. I'm not trying to deal with that, but I don't know how. So how can we proceed? So I think that we need that agency, which is the housing authority, to include the county in its ability to handle funds, choose projects, and monitor, and maybe even, this would be a bigger one, but maybe even manage the asset. But I don't think we need to go that far, because what I've been looking at for the real opportunities here, their people are willing to manage their own assets if they can find it financially sound enough to create the project. So we may not have to have the housing authority manage much more assets, but I don't know yet. And then the deed restriction, I'm going to need some legal help. I'm not going to write them. I don't know how. Well, this effort needs legal help to understand what that is. I'm not sure what to do there. And then this morning, Representative Crago offered to find funding for our agency, which I was shocked. Wow, cool. That would be nice. I don't know where in the world he would start talking about some pockets or something. I don't know what he was talking about. But that'd really help. We don't need a lot of money or a lot of donations to get this going. We just need some to work with them. The real potentials, and this is where I need action from the council. We have two, and I haven't even pushed for more, but I have two real potentials. One of them is a local guy who's done developments and done rent control developments in town, who wants to convert an old motel to a 10-unit motel to 5 or 6 housing units. But he wants to talk to the city about, what did he say? Some services. fees and stuff and a smooth transition. But that's going to take a conversation with the city. The other one is on development, and they have done developments all over the state. If you look at their website, pondev.com, you can see development, 24 and 30 unit developments in Lander and Pinedale and Douglas and all or 10 cities, and they got two more right now. They got through the WCDA funding cycle this last year, starting construction this summer in Powell, 24 units, and Gillette, 30 some units. And they're beautiful. I mean, they're just, and they do it all. They write the grant, they do everything. But they want, they, what they offered to do is if we could have representatives from the city and have a Zoom meeting, they're willing to explain the process. And so they're not asking, no commitment, no nothing, but WCDA funds, the application's got to be in by September 30th. It's awarded in January and February, and that would allow construction in next summer. And if we miss that, it's a year out. And so I talked to him yesterday, Monday, and he's willing to schedule a Zoom meeting if I can find the proper people to, you know, listen to him so we know what we've got to do. You know, I mean, I'm happy to listen, but I need your buy-in. This whole project that I'm on, I need your buy-in, and I need, what I'd really like to get from you is a new board or council or how did I word it?
There's people
commission.
Up here that might like a new council.
Pardon?
At this point.
I didn't hear.
There's people up here that might like a new council.
No, I don't mean that. I mean a separate group of people that can help me, that can work on this task. And the way I see it is we take some hard work right at the beginning, and then we get all the thing for the Buffalo Housing Authority set up, and we get an idea of what we're doing here, and then transfer the responsibilities to the Housing Authority or whoever else, and then this new group that I was just talking about disbands. It isn't something we have to have forever. We just need people dedicated to working on it. And so I'd like your buy-in. I'd like to have you think about how we can get a group to work on this. There you go.
Thank you for working. Next on the agenda is a concessionaire's agreement between the city and Lickety Splits. And it is for the snack shack at the pool. Lickety Splits will pay the city the fee of $500. For the season. I get a motion to accept the concessionaire's agreement between Lickety Splits and the City of Buffalo.
So moved.
Second. No motion, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Shane, what was the price again for the amount?
$500
for the season.
Thank you.
For the swimming pool season. Chamber of Commerce, Wednesday Market, request to extend street closure hours.
Good afternoon, City Council. As you know, the Farmers Market has started the last 2 weeks, and I have heard from the committee that we have almost all of the spots filled for the entire summer, which is really exciting. Even with the somewhat crappy weather we've had the last 2 weeks, the turnout has been really good, and we have a nice eclectic mix of market stalls and whatnot. So because of that, and the fact that some of them are coming from out of town, a lot from Sheridan because of their issues with their farmers market as well, we would like to extend our street closure request from 2 p.m. instead of the original 4 p.m. slot.
Okay.
In the closest Main Street?
No, just the little alley between the alley of Fetterman to Main Street of Fetterman. So just that one area so they can unload and we can put some extra booths there.
Run that by me one more time.
Yeah.
So it would. So the official Wednesday market is from 5 to 7 p.m., but we allow soft openings for vendors to try to reach the tourists who are only coming in for lunch to get them to stay in town and to further shop and stay and visit our members and our community organizations. So we would like Fetterman closed at 2 p.m. from Main Street, corner of Main Street. So Sheepdog to Alley.
You're welcome.
She thought it
out.
I understood that.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah. Chief, any cares, wants, cares, concerns? No.
Okay, sorry, I'll wait until that's finished. And then I just have, okay. We just, we got our brand new walking brochure that just finished being printed and delivered this week. So please stop by the chamber if you want to get one of the new brochures. And secondly, later this week, we will be unveiling the theme for the Fair and Rodeo Parade. And we solicited the community and then asked our members to vote on the finalists. And the theme is going to be Let's Go, Let's Show, Let's Rodeo. So we'll have the flyer and sign-up information for the parade clothes coming in, coming out at the end of the week or early next week.
Can I get a motion to approve the extended hours for the Wednesday markets from 5 p.m. to 2 p.m. starting times?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh, sorry. The past? Excellent.
Mayor's appointment. Mayor's appointment to the KBJ Economic Development Joint Powers Board, also known as Bundle Mountain. Michael Hansen for a 3-year term. Can I get a motion to approve the appointment?
So moved.
Second. Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Reports, Mr. Kirby. Oh, he's coming up with the time.
Yeah, Mark. Mayor, City Council, I didn't get this to Deanne, but it's a letter from an attorney in Sheridan complaining for a client about the mowing at the golf course at 7 a.m. So I'll make sure you get this.
I cannot imagine. How late does she like to sleep?
Well, I don't know when she gets up, but it's apparently too early.
I'll talk to you about that one after.
This is visionary. I don't understand what they're asking for the city. Did you send this to me?
I did for you to look at. It's not anything. It's visionary broadband. So it's like, is it a franchise agreement? Is it, that's what we need to...
We already have one with them. This is the license agreement. It's dated in September of 2000. I don't know what they're asking.
Yeah. They're wanting to do the optics, fiber optics.
Yeah, fiber optics in town. Well, I got that yesterday.
I'm not sure. I might need to amend that contract. Often.
So give them a lot to look at.
So it's for your review and questions to us.
It's a done deal. Done in 2020.
Yep. But I think they're wanting to. I think they're wanting to add more. So it's just a review and
okay.
Probably just an update.
I'll take a look at it. Yeah. Next. So I have any questions?
No questions. Village Inspector Terry Easy.
Mayor Council, I really don't have anything new to report. If you have any questions, I'll answer them. I'll try to.
Time you start mowing your grass.
I do mine at night.
Cut yourself there.
Don't mow it too late.
Your chief is.
Mayor, council, I have actually nothing to report this week. That's a good thing.
Okay.
I'd love to answer your question if you have any.
No questions, not as of yet. Public Works.
Mayor and council, we have nothing to report this week. Do you have any questions? Answer them for you.
Did we get both trees out of the tree?
Thank you.
Another one we've got to get for the week. The water's way down.
Are there any oral written comments?
Any flooding?
Possibly an amendment. We added the $2,000 to the general study budget, but it should have gone under protective services for our ordinance 1415. So can we amend to change that? We put it under general study budget, yeah. To go under protective services because it's a service contract with the shelter.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was. Does it have an impact on general city funds?
Protective services.
Okay. If you're right, if you're sure you're right.
Of course she's right.
That's what she said.
Okay. Can I get a motion to amend Ordinance 1415 to reflect the $2,000 change to protective services versus general city?
So moved.
Second. A motion in 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none. Any more oral written comments?
Just real quick. So, Charles Oski, Superintendent Johnson County School District. Mr. Madden, it's good to be on this side again. And you're sitting on the other side. Anyway, just in conversation with affordable housing. Just being an advocate for Johnson County School District to work not only with the city but other organizations, I'm going to predict we're already in a situation of staff turnover, people coming in, keeping that piece. So as a school district, you know, whatever we can be doing to help the city to look outside the box. I know, Mr. Camino, that's a common phrase that we do, but I can see that being a struggle for us as a district, along with other businesses. I don't want to speak for them, but as a superintendent, if there's something I need to do to maybe come to a meeting or have that input, what that looks like. But as we look at staffing challenges, financial challenges, some of those things, and getting quality people for our kids in that community, the district, or myself, at least as a superintendent, we have meetings, but we have to schedule another. Mr. Zink is here to help that. We just want to be on the table and to be noted. Just let us know. But it is a struggle that I foresee we already have, but I don't see it going away. I actually see it multiplying over the next couple of years. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say. So thanks.
Can I take that as a volunteer point? If we start,
you call Heidi and she'll get back to Ms. Dennis. Absolutely. But and just
volunteer.
we can talk about it, or we can do something about it, or we can at least attempt to do something about it. And it's also education for me. What do we have? So when we're trying to hire teachers and they say we can't find a place, it's about resources. What resources do we have? So that we can come better at placing teachers. We have right now some employees that we've hired that can't find a place to live. And so that puts me in a pickle in August when they can't find a place to live and we're already planning on them having a position. And then it's just a trickle-down effect. Loves, I'm going to be competing for those same places with 40 employees. What we're looking at, any of the other businesses where we're trying to be, it's a competition. But the thing I struggle with as a superintendent, we're only entitled so much money. So I can't raise salaries to offset to get people to do it. So there's some things. And I've been an advocate, and Mr. Madden will know this, that supporting education, funding of education, it's a very complex thing. But the reality is we shouldn't be competing against each other. We should be trying to find resources that we can support all of the employees. So, because
we live here. You're going to take my employee to go work at another business, or I'm going to try to take your employee to come work for us. So it gets to be a competition, and really we should probably try to work together to kind of alleviate some of that transfer back and forth.
You know, one thing that occurred to me while you're talking is that you have a lot of land here, and you've got a lot of, I don't know if you've got extra land that's just sitting there being mowed every year. It could be, I know a lot of other school districts have extra land that they convert to housing of some type for their employees. But that's one of the crucial inputs that we need is real estate. And you got
us looking at, and you know this, Mr. Matt, as well as I do, going by the state, and there's a process of what that looks like and how we go through that structure. But, you know, having land that you can build on is different than having land, too. So looking at some of those things. But coming together and looking at what we have or what we don't have, some of that is perception. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a perception we might have a lot, when the reality is we don't have some of that land might not actually be ours that we can build on. So, you know, clarifying some of those things that, hey, the school owns that corner lot. No, we really don't own that corner lot. We might take care of it, or we might drive by it a lot. But it's just those perceptions of what we own and don't own. That's why coming to the table and offering our experience, honestly, that's why I've asked John to be here. He knows our facilities inside and out and what we don't. Second year as a facilities, he's learning about the state and what we're doing. And we're also looking at, you know, we got an aging school. So you can't get one piece of land if that's where your intention is 5 or 6 years down the road to build an additional school or to know some of those things. So long-term planning, communication, collaboration, coming to the table, and yes, voluntold or volunteering. I can sit back and complain, or I can offer an opportunity. If it's not me, I'll have somebody to represent the district at the table that kind of knows what they're talking about. Okay? All right, that's all I want to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thanks. Any other oral written comments? Hearing none. Announcements. Planning and Zoning Board Meeting, June 27th at 1 p.m. Mr. Spear. Department Head Meeting. Special note on this. Usually our City Council meetings are on the first Tuesday of the month. That's in July, is the 4th of July, so we will not be here. So that is being moved to July 5th at 7 a.m. City County Meeting, July 18th at 7 a.m. And City Council meetings, again, July 5th and the 18th at 5 p.m. So, first meeting of July is on a Wednesday and not a Tuesday. Can I get approval of the bills as presented?
So moved.
I have a motion, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get approval to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Motion to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?